Hi, how's business?
How's business?
How's business? Welcome to How's Business, a podcast on what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago, created by the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. Today on How's Business, we're welcoming Dearborn Denim. Dearborn Denim has locations in Hyde Park and Andersonville, and they do their manufacturing in East Garfield Park. So as I mentioned, the IJ Clinic is celebrating our 20th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. As a part of that, we're doing a listening tour. We want to hear what's going on with you on the ground as a small business owner, what's going well and what could be going better. So we'll just kick it off from the top. If you could tell me your name and the name of your business.
My name is Robert McMillan. I am the owner of Dearborn Denim and Apparel.
All right. And then could you tell me the story of Dearborn Denim and Apparel, just from like baby seedling when you first thought about it to where you're at today?
This is going to be a long story.
High level. Yeah, let's
do
it.
So let's take it back to 2012, 13, somewhere in there. I was a bond trader at the Board of Trade, unhappy in the finance world, wanted to start my own business, thought about starting a brewery because I was a home brewer. And that ship has already set sail and there are fabulous breweries all over. So I think it would be very difficult to start a successful microbrewery now. A ton of people are doing a great job there. Started looking into other industries, and in high school, I'd started a silk screening company, just making t-shirts out of my parents' basement. So I looked at apparel manufacturing because I like working with my hands and landed on, of all things, jeans. Originally, they were going to be, you know, $200 American-made jeans, right? But I figured, hey, well, actually, if we set up an apparel manufacturer and sell directly to customers online for $60 for a great pair of jeans made in Chicago, I want those. I bet other people do too. Just need to figure out how to make them. There's about a year and a half of research of what machines do you need, what processes need to be in place, how do you build a website, these kinds of things, before actually signing the lease on our factory in Garfield Park, where we are now. Started with myself and Vic, who's my production manager, and now we have 32 employees.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So this story sparks two big questions for me. It sounds like it took a year and a half of sort of research and development before you knew how you were going to make this all come to fruition. I think that's a normal story for small businesses. How do you deal with that year and a half when you don't necessarily have income coming in?
Oh, no. I did during that time. You work two jobs. You work at your day job. And then you work your night job. You don't have income is when you actually start the business. You have to get everything set up and you have to build sales and it's very expensive. And so any money coming in is going right back out the door and you tighten the waist belt and you make sure you don't spend money on anything you don't have to.
I don't think of Chicago as a specifically like heavy apparel place. What was it like to try to find 32 skilled workers to work in this factory?
Chicago is actually one of the best places in America to start an apparel manufacturer.
Tell me more.
Yes. So we have a good pool of seamstresses, as it turns out. Now, there's not a lot of cut and sew in the United States. When I mean cut and sew, I mean cutting and sewing garments. Of the apparel consumed in the United States, now less than 2% is made in America. That's down, if you go back to like 1970s, it was still like 70%. And then it just kept dropping. And now we're less than 2%. The history of apparel manufacturing is a history of chasing lower wages. So if you go to 1920s, 25% of apparel consumed in the United States was actually made in Chicago. 1950s, it started moving south. And then 1970, 1980, it started moving overseas. And then that accelerated. Apparel manufacturing jobs moved down to Mexico. And then innovations in shipping made trans-Pacific shipping very affordable. Globalization kicks in, then it goes to China. Now China's too expensive.
So what about Chicago makes it a hospitable place for seamstresses?
Chicago specifically still has some cut and sew left. I mean, there's a mattress company. There are a couple union shops. So that makes Chicago a good place because you have the skilled workforce.
I don't think I appreciated that you started as an online model. Would you identify as like a clicks to bricks store? And do you think that because of the direct to consumer thing is getting more popular, that there might be more people who are able to produce in the United States? And by clicks to bricks, I mean you start as an online company and then are eventually able to have a retail.
Yeah, we are technically clicks to bricks in that sense. We're expanding our retail footprint. We're adding two stores this year. But we're still primarily an e-commerce company. Because we do vertical integration, we don't have the same price pressure on wages as contract manufacturers do, because none of the brands make their own jeans anymore. So you have contract manufacturers, then you have brands, then you have retailers, then you have consumers. And we go direct, so we cut all of that out. I think somewhere in the realm of 75 to 80% of our sales are done online. All across the United States, including Hawaii and Alaska.
All right.
Yeah.
So are you a native to Chicago? And is it particularly important to you that your business is here?
I grew up in the suburbs and have been living in the city for over a decade now. It's staying in Chicago. I think too many times businesses want to optimize cost. And so they'll sacrifice a lot of indirect value to be like, okay, well, now paying a dollar less an hour or something like that by moving into the next county. I'm not interested in that.
Chicago's the place.
Yes.
All right. When you think about your business journey here in Chicago, can you tell me a little bit about the challenges?
Let's see here. We spread fabric. I just saw the fabric spreader behind you. That was the largest piece of equipment that was delivered starting off, right? So it was an empty space. I set up the table. All right. Now we have to get this fabric spreader onto the table. And it was getting shipped up from Georgia. It arrived. It was a very big crate. Pried open the bottom, and then thankfully, the rigger that I had hired to bring it in, Jimmy, identified that they had damaged the machine. He's like, do not accept this delivery. So then we had to send it back down to the manufacturers to repair it and send it back up. But that was a 2-month delay. So we used a metal bar and some dumpsters to spread fabric for those early days. So that was a headache.
I'm wondering, to what extent is this kinds of business regulated and at what level? And what has your experience been like trying to navigate any kind of regulations?
It's regulated under OSHA and all these kinds of operations like any other manufacturing business in the United States. There are some regulations specific to apparel manufacturing and sales, but it's not overbearing like it would be, let's say, if we were a bleach manufacturer, right? Where you're dealing with dangerous chemicals, as long as safe working conditions and attention to structural integrity. Mm-hmm. In and of itself, sewing is not particularly dangerous. So it's not like it's a heavily regulated industry.
Mm-hmm. And whenever you were first getting your business off the ground, did you have to visit City Hall for any of the
Yeah, you got you have to get business certificate, whatever they're called, business licenses. And I live close enough by that just ride the bike over and pick them up.
That's great.
I actually think Chicago does a pretty good job of business licenses. They're affordable. Mm-hmm. Process is pain-free. Even now with CyberDrive, like declaring new legal entities is, again, cheap and easy. And that's like what you want as a small business is cheap and easy and straightforward and not necessarily requiring paying your lawyer to go do it.
If you were to give the city of Chicago one piece of advice, like what would that advice be?
There's not a ton of manufacturing. And as a city, Chicago really wants to have manufacturers. So they make it easy for manufacturers to get licenses. When you look at the list of business licenses and how much they cost, the one for selling alcohol after 2 a.m. is like thousands of dollars. And then the one for manufacturing is like $200 for 2 years or something. I mean, if it cost $100,000 to get the permitting, or $50,000 or $20,000, mm-hmm, or $10,000 or $5,000 to get the permitting to start an apparel manufacturer, that would make it a lot harder. That just keeps you out. So the fact that it's so affordable is great.
Yeah. So that affordability has helped you create 32 jobs here in Garfield Park.
But you could also think of like, okay, somebody who knows how to sew, they get themselves a sewing machine, maybe two sewing machines, and they can afford that business license to be legally registered as apparel manufacturer. Now you have a one-person shop that is an apparel manufacturer, mm-hmm, right? So like there is no barrier there. As an individual, you can go and you can start your own business.
Yeah. And when you think about where this 32-person shop would be in 5 years, sort of broadly, what do you hope to see?
We already have a goal in mind. We're going to build the denim mill. So when I started, there were 3 denim mills in the United States where we could buy Made in America denim, make it in Chicago. So it was 100% American made. 2017, Cone Mills closed their White Oaks plant. And then our mill, Denim North America, announced the closure of their denim manufacturing, and they were going to start focusing on advanced textiles. There's not enough cut and sew being done in the United States to justify denim mills.
So that's a huge opportunity in the market.
You have to build the opportunity. If we were to say, hey, now this is a huge project, that's why it's a five-year project. The designs for this facility are done. For us, in order to make it financially possible, we have to consume the majority of the fabric created internally. We have to grow a lot because denim mills make ridiculously large amounts of fabric. And the only way to amortize this giant capital expense is through sales of a lot of fabric, right? If you spend $100 on equipment to make 1 yard of fabric, it doesn't matter. So that 1 yard of fabric, the cotton, you know, it's $100 yard of fabric, and then you're not going to sell that.
So you need to be making 50.
Well, right, exactly. So you spend $100 to make 50 yards of fabric. Now you're at $2 a yard or something like that. So anyways, you have to build the demand. The demand for cut and sew is not there. So hopefully we're pushing hard on the marketing side, expanding our retail footprint to go from a small business to a large business to then build a denim mill in Chicago, which would be really cool, right?
Yeah, that's really exciting.
I think that'd be fun.
That for folks who already consume Dearborn denim, they'd be really excited to hear that.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we already kind of announced that's the plan. It's a steep road.
Mm-hmm. If you could describe what it's like to do business in the city of Chicago in just one phrase, what would that phrase be?
Good people.
And then the last thing I just want to ask is there anything that's important for you to share about Dearborn Denim with the folks who are listening?
Oh, yeah. DearbornDenim.us is our website. And then we also have stores in Andersonville at 5202 North Clark Street and Hyde Park at 1504 East 53rd Street.
Since 1998, the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship has provided free legal assistance, support, and advocacy for low-income entrepreneurs in Chicago. The IJ Clinic also trains University of Chicago law students to be vigorous and creative advocates for entrepreneurs. For more information, visit www.housebusinessshy.com.